Good morning. This morning, we're going to take a little different tact here, and we are going to talk about a subject that needs to be taught, but that we sometimes fall short on because of the fact that we run into this thing of saying, well, everybody might not agree with that subject, so we're just not going to talk about it. But that big subject is the word doctrine. And we saw that in the scripture passages here this morning in 2 Timothy and in Titus chapter 2. I want you to turn back to Titus chapter 2 as we get started here this morning. Titus chapter 2. And we just want to pick out a few of these verses to start off with here. But Titus chapter 2 starts with this verse that says, "But speak thou the things which become sound doctrine." And then he goes on to describe some of those things, which interestingly enough, are not what you and I might jump to right off the top as saying, oh, here is basic doctrine. But what he fills in is the process of saying, this doctrine should teach you how to live your life, how we respond to God, right? All of those things, it should affect every area of our life because that doctrine is sound teaching. And that's where he goes here through this whole chapter. All the way down, so in verse 1, and of course then there's that list of things. Then there is verse 11, "For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men." And then he changes a little bit the focus here to teaching us that, right, denying ungodliness, worldly lusts, these kinds of things we ought to not have in our life. And all the way down to the end verse where Paul emphasizes this fact. These things speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. The reminder here from Paul is the fact that these things are important. Just because it might offend someone who doesn't want to hear the message of God's word, that doesn't mean you avoid the subject. Just because they want to live a life contrary to God's word, doesn't mean you say, well, do what you want. It doesn't mean in the church that we say, okay, well, here's the subjects we're going to talk about from Scripture. And here's the other list of things that, yes, they're in Scripture, but we don't want to talk about them. Because that might not go over so well. There are important subjects. The Scripture is full of them. To say, well, this part we don't want to talk about means that we're going to avoid what God has given to us, what God has told us. Right? We're reminded to preach the whole counsel of God. So we're going to talk this morning here about doctrine. Doctrine is a word that has some very specific meaning, and we'll talk about that definition in a moment here, but it can be, that word can be used not just in church. Right? It's also used in other places, like a military doctrine. That doesn't mean the military said, here's what we believe about God. It said, these are true things. These are the rules you follow. Wrong doctrine creates wrong results. If you start in the wrong place, you're going to end up in the wrong place. We want to talk about that subject this morning, God's doctrine, God's truth. Let's open in prayer. Father, we pray that as we look into your word this morning, that you would open our eyes to the truth of your word. We pray that you would direct my tongue, or that everything that's said here this morning would be true, that be from your word, and Lord, that it would bring honor and glory to you, that each one of us might learn to live, to follow after what you have taught us of truth. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. James chapter 1, verses 21 and 22 says this: Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and receive with meekness the engrafted word which is able to save your souls. The following verse, verse 22, says this: But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. Be ye doers of it. We don't get to select the part we want to believe. The big question that we do run across comes in this area, says, well, are you Catholic or are you Lutheran? I'm none of those. Well, what church do you go to? You say, well, I'm a Baptist. Okay, throw that term out there. And the next question is going to be what? What's a Baptist? What do they believe? Here's the succinct answer. They believe what the Bible teaches, all of what the Bible teaches, and nothing else. Nothing that man adds to it to say, well, this is how religion should work. This is what the Bible teaches. That's the final answer. Right? We can look across at all of the various religions around us, and the answer is, well, sometimes they read from the Bible. Sometimes they talk about what the Bible says, but the interpretation is, well, this is what the church teaches. Okay? We should never be in the position that says this is what the church teaches. Right? This is what Scripture teaches. That's the only place that we can go, is to what is in God's Word. And we need to, of course, talk about all of it. John Bunyan is most famous for writing a book called Pilgrim's Progress. If you haven't read Pilgrim's Progress ever or recently, it's a good book to read. It takes the Christian life and says it's a journey. And Pilgrim, as he makes that journey, you know what? Number one, he found the cross, the narrow way. This is the way to heaven. But beyond that, there were lots of pitfalls, lots of temptations, lots of things that would draw him off the right road. And along the way, he would fall to many of those temptations or to those bright and shiny objects that draw us off the road. And he would have to learn that lesson that said, it would have been a lot better if I would just stay on the right road throughout his Christian life. But John Bunyan, in preaching, made this statement. He said, either this book will keep you from sin, or sin will keep you from this book. How much time do we spend in that book? We're talking this morning about that fancy word doctrine that says, what should I believe? What is the truth? Getting it here on Sunday morning, I'm sorry, you're not going to get enough. You have to spend time in God's Word, learning what God has taught us. If you read through this book every year from cover to cover, you're not going to reach a point where you say, I've learned everything in the book, so I don't have to read it anymore. There's always something to learn from God's Word. And we need to take the time, we need to spend it. It is God's revelation to man. It's the only place that we're going to get it, is directly from God's Word. Okay. Noah Webster wrote an American dictionary. We call it the 1828 Dictionary. I will still tell you, it is the best dictionary that you should ever use. Written, number one, by an American using American words. In 1828, if you read through that dictionary, it's not going to have some of the modern terms that we use today. You're not going to find internet in the 1828 dictionary. But if you're going to read God's Word and need a dictionary, you should go to Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary. One of the great things about it is it will give you a word, it will give you definition, and then it will give you examples. Those examples are scripture references. Here's how the Bible uses that word, and here's what it means. So we're going to look at the word doctrine to start off with this morning from Noah Webster in his 1828 dictionary. In a general sense, whatever is taught. Hence, a principle or position in any science. Whatever is laid down as true by an instructor or master. The doctrines of the gospel are the principles or truths taught by Christ and his apostles. The doctrines of Plato are the principles which he taught. Hence, a doctrine may be true or false. It may be a mere tenet or an opinion. Doctrine is not necessarily truth. It is that which is taught. We go back to the book that is true. We're starting with that position rather than from someone, some man's idea. Also in that definition, it's the act of teaching. He notes in the dictionary, Mark chapter 4, verse 2, he taught them many things by parables and said to them in his doctrine. So his act of teaching. A third definition, it's learning or knowledge. And in the dictionary, Isaiah 28, 9, whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Number four, the truths of the gospel in general. Another definition of doctrine. And he lists Titus 2:1, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. And number five, instruction and confirmation in the truths of the gospel. And again, he lists 2 Timothy 3:10, instruct as the use of that term here, the instruction and confirmation in the truths of the gospel. So according to that definition, right, simply using the term doctrine, doctrine could be true or doctrine could be false. So let's look at some scripture here this morning that are at the top that talks about some false doctrine that does exist. Matthew chapter 15, verse 9. We're going to turn to a bunch of verses here. Actually, I'm going to turn to some of them, and some of them I'm just going to read so that we get through all of them. But Matthew chapter 15. And verse 9 says, but in vain do they worship me, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. Christ says, some things just aren't true. Even though they claim that they are such, they're not what God said. They're not what Scripture reveals to us. Ephesians 4:14 says that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 9 says, be not carried about with diverse and strange doctrines. For it is a good thing that the heart be established with grace, not with meats, which have not profited them that have occupied therein. And in Revelation chapter 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, but I have a few things against thee, because thou hast there them that hold the doctrine of Balaam, who taught Balak to cast a stumbling block before the children of Israel, to eat things sacrificed unto idols, and to commit fornication. So hast thou also them that hold the doctrine of the Nicolaitans, which things I hate. There are people that are in churches. He's referencing specifically this. Just because you are in church, whatever church that might be, right? But you're in church does not mean that you're hearing sound doctrine, that you're hearing the truths of Scripture. Someone was mentioning again this morning about a church that said, well, we're changing our ways. We're not going to do what we thought Scripture said in the past because sin is rampant around us. Here's the best answer. Just let it come on in. Let us practice it right here at church. And that therefore, that makes things good. That's their doctrine. In Revelation here, the specific point is there is such a thing as false doctrine. So, here's a big question for you. Each one of us gets to choose, are we going to follow after the truth of Scripture, or are we going to go our own ways? What part are we going to ignore? It's not a good thing. But we have that liberty that no one says, these are the things that you absolutely must believe. There are essential things. Scripture lists many truths that we say, these are things that you absolutely need to believe because Scripture says so. But I can't make you do that, right? First one, of course, would be verbal plenary inspiration of the Holy Bible. If I don't believe that Scripture is inspired, that that is the Word of God, why are we here? There's no reason to stand around and talk about religion, right? If we don't believe Scripture, we don't have a basis for anything that we ought to believe. This church has taken a position and said, okay, over the years, what we've distilled down is to say, these are essential doctrines from Scripture that this church will not depart from. And it can't, again, dictate what a man believes. But it can dictate, this is what this church is going to hold to as the standard from God's Word. So some of you might have the question that says, well, then where's that list at? What are the things that this church holds to? I show up here and I kind of wonder, what do we believe? I guess we believe in God. We talk about Him. We believe in some other basic things, but I can't really tell you what they are. There's a document. It is called the Church Constitution and Bylaws. In that is enumerated something that we call the Statement of Faith. These are the truths from Scripture that we will not depart from. And there's a copy on the back table. Take it, read through it. We come to church and we literally have the opinion that says, well, I'm not sure what I believe, but I believe whatever they must teach at church. Again, you still don't get enough on a Sunday morning. What does Scripture teach? Okay, so that document lists these various basic doctrines and Scripture to go with them. If you have a basic doctrine and no Scripture to go with it, toss the doctrine, right? It must come from God's Word. So it talks about inspiration of the Scripture. It talks about the true God and His characteristics as revealed in Scripture, the nature of God, the attributes of God, the omnipotence of God, His omniscience. God knows all. The omnisapience of God. He is the embodiment of all wisdom. The omnipresence of God. The immutability of God. God does not change. The holiness of God. The love of God. The Godhead. God the Father. God the Son. God the Holy Spirit. All of those are beliefs that says these come directly from Scripture. Okay? That document reminds us of this is what Scripture teaches relating to the devil or Satan. He is real. Right? Regardless of what Flip Wilson said, the devil is real. And he attempts to influence our lives for evil. Okay? Creation. The fall of man. If I'm not a sinner, I don't need salvation. Now, the truth is, you are a sinner and you need salvation. But if we don't believe that, then there is no, we can't go any further on the subject of salvation. Redemption from sin, basic doctrine. Salvation by what? Grace, right? Through faith. What can I do to earn my salvation? Okay. Are there churches that teach that you must do something along the way to earn salvation? Okay. Huge distinction. If they're going down that road, they are not following after the basic doctrines of Scripture. These are the truths of Scripture. The subject of the church. What is the truths of that as listed in Scripture? The ordinances. Okay. Baptism and the Lord's Supper. The only two ordinances established in Scripture. Okay. The righteous and the wicked. What does Scripture teach about those subjects? The return of Christ. Right? It's part of basic doctrine of this is what this church believes. Grab the papers from the back. Let's look into the details. We can't get into every doctrine this morning. We're talking about the big subject of there is truth. And the question is, do you believe truth or do you not believe truth? What does Scripture teach? So the return of Christ, the resurrection, separation, or what we might call personal holiness. Right? I attend that church, but I don't agree so much on the subject of personal holiness. What does Scripture teach? Sanctification, that process of setting apart. We ought to become more like Christ. We ought to grow in our spiritual lives. Those are basic doctrine things, and they're in that document, along with Scripture to back them up. These are what Scripture teaches. There's some other things that are distinctions, though. Right? I attend this particular church because I believe they teach the truth. There's many that do not teach the truth from Scripture. But there are other distinctions as well that says, what does that church emphasize? And what do they stand on? And what makes them different from somebody else? You might say, there's a church over here. It teaches the gospel. It teaches the message of salvation. But they don't have a Baptist name on their building. So what's different about them? What is that? We've got some basic truth, but some different emphasis on this is what Scripture teaches. So they can be distilled down into some basic things, some of which overlaps with the doctrine side. But it says church here, church A versus church B. Okay? On the Baptist side, Bible is the only rule of faith and practice. Nothing added to it, nothing taken away. Regenerate, immersed church membership. Okay? If I'm going to be a member of the organization, that church, saved and baptized. Autonomy, A, autonomy of the local church. There are many churches and groups that would say, well, this is all part of the denomination, and here's all the hierarchy above us, and they decide all those things. Okay? Characteristic of a Baptist church, its own autonomy. Right? We are in the process right now of looking for a pastor for our church. We do not look to some hierarchy that says appoint somebody for us. Whoever that is, that's what we're going with, whatever you've appointed. Right? This church is determining God's will relating to a pastor. P, a priesthood of believers. Okay? There's a big distinction between a priesthood of believers and a physical priesthood. I do not have to go through a priest. Okay? Scripture makes it clear that that is part of my relationship with God, is that priesthood of believers. Soul liberty. A soul liberty says we are not all going to agree on every last thing, but we can still fellowship together. Basic doctrines we need to agree on. But there are some things that we're going to disagree on. That's fine. Let that happen. Okay? But no one says this is what you must believe, and a man dictates what you believe. Immersion and the Lord's Supper are the only two ordinances. Again, there are churches that say, well, they're kind of similar to us, but they don't agree on those two ordinances, baptism and the Lord's Supper. Separation of church and state, that has been a fundamental Baptist distinctive. It doesn't say that you as an individual should have no influence on the state, the government. But it does draw a very distinct line that says the government is not the one to dictate my religion or what I believe or to try to force me to change my beliefs. There's a distinction, that separation of church and the state here. And separation, ethically and ecclesiastically. Ethically, do I live a separated life? Scripture teaches it. This church puts an emphasis on the fact that we need to live a separated life. You're going to find there are churches here in this area that say, well, we believe all these basic tenets of salvation and some the basic things of Scripture. But when it comes to being separated from this world, that's everybody's choice. Do whatever you want to when it comes to that subject. There's no reason to be separated. Listen to the world's music. Go to the world's places. Spend your time with the world's entertainment. Because you're saved, that's good enough. Okay. Scripture teaches I need to be separated from the world. But that would be a distinctive that this church would say, it's in Scripture and we need to teach it. Even though there's a lot of churches who don't emphasize the fact that they need separation from this world. And ecclesiastically, right? We do not join hands with other religious groups to say, well, let's all work on the same projects together. It muddies the water tremendously. And here's where the mud comes in. They don't change. Okay? But if you're trying to stand on Scripture, you'll be the one who changes. To say, well, in order to fit in, we're going to have to quit emphasizing this fact or that fact relating to Scripture. So we have that ethically and ecclesiastically. Right? The Catholic Church has been good through a long process over many years of saying, let's get the community together. Right? All the various religions can work together on these subjects. Right? And what we know is churches who join in it, right, they lose their distinctive. They lose their stand because they say, well, we all want to just be happy and be part of the group rather than stand on what is the truth of Scripture. Matthew 27, verse 28. Scripture reminds us that there's incorrect or wrong doctrine, but there's also right doctrine. Matthew 7, 28 says, and it came to pass when Jesus had ended these sayings, the people were astonished at his doctrine, his teaching. Remember the Jews, they had the Old Testament. But what happened in that practice of religion? Well, we don't like this part, let's change it. Well, let's create some new rules along the way that if you follow my list of rules, then you'll be righteous. And if you don't follow my list of rules, well then, you know, you're wrong, you're on the outside. And Christ comes along, Christ says, it's not even in the Old Testament. Who made that up? Right? When he came down, when he was teaching in the temple, what the people were realizing was that is something to be astonished at. His doctrine, his truth. And he kept bringing them back to say, this is what you guys keep talking about from the Old Testament. Number one, it's not true. Number two, here's what it was intended to mean. This is how life is supposed to work. And the people were astonished at that because they'd been hearing the teaching of the religious teachers. And it was not following what Scripture had said. Matthew 22, 33 says, and when the multitude heard this, they were astonished at his doctrine. Mark chapter 1, verse 22, and they were astonished at his doctrine, for he taught them as one that had authority and not as the scribes. If you can imagine the reaction of saying, he knows what he's talking about. And those guys, I'm not sure that they have authority. They're not the scribes who are making it up as they go. He had the truth. John chapter 7, verses 16 and 17. Jesus answered them and said, my doctrine is mine. My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me. If any man do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself. Christ speaking said, I'm not giving you some new doctrine. Right? To determine if I am telling you the truth, let's go back and look at what does Scripture teach us about God? That was where he pointed them back to. What did God say? John chapter 18, verse 19. The high priest then asked Jesus of his disciples and of his doctrine. What are you teaching? Acts chapter 2, 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. So they continued steadfastly in, here what we have, the apostles' doctrine or the truth. In Acts chapter 5, verse 28 and 29, saying, we do straitly command you that you should not teach in this name. And behold, ye have filled Jerusalem with your doctrine and intend to bring this man's blood upon us. Anybody know what comes next? Famous verse. Then Peter and the other apostles answered and said, we ought to obey God rather than men. Right? They were teaching the truth. They were told not to. And their response is, we ought to obey God rather than men. Acts 13, 12. Then the deputy, when he saw what was done, believed, being astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. In Romans chapter 16, verse 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and avoid them. Where does he go back to? Okay. What is the truth? Do you know the truth? Okay. The best way to discover counterfeit and counterfeit currency is to know the real thing inside and out. Then, when you come across error, when you come across the counterfeit, you say, something's wrong here. Hey, they don't teach you how to spot counterfeit currency. They teach you how to spot the real thing. Because when you come across the counterfeit, you will know it. Astonished at the doctrine of the Lord. Okay. Mark them which cause division and offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned. 1 Timothy 1, 3. As I besought thee to abide still at Ephesus, when I went into Macedonia, that thou mightest charge some that they teach no other doctrine. Okay. Watch out for error is what he's reminding him of. 1 Timothy chapter 4, long section relating to doctrine, but some of the verses out of there. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Verse 6, if thou put the brethren in remembrance of these things, thou shalt be a good minister of Jesus Christ, nourished up in the words of faith and good doctrine, whereunto thou hast attained. Verse 13, till I come, give attendance to reading, to exhortation, and to doctrine. And verse 16, take heed unto thyself and unto the doctrine. Continue in them, for in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. A couple more verses here. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verses 1 and verse 3. Let as many servants as are under the yoke count their own masters worthy of all honor, that the name of God and his doctrine be not blasphemed. If any man teach otherwise and consent not to wholesome words, even the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, and to the doctrine which is according to godliness. In 2 Timothy, Paul writes this, but thou hast fully known my doctrine, fully known the truth. And he goes on with my manner of life, my faith, my long suffering, my charity, my patience, my persecutions. Okay? You know what the truth is and you know what is taught and you need to do them. That same passage in verse 16 says, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. Also in 2 Timothy, preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all long suffering and doctrine. In Titus, he talked about that they may be able by sound doctrine, both to exhort and convince the gainsayers. A sound doctrine is referenced over and over again. But I won't know what sound doctrine is if I don't dig into God's word and spend time there and learn it. Okay? Just reading a little bit here and there. Or saying, you know, this week I meditated on a verse that came to mind. How about a new verse? How about what does God teach me? 2 John chapter 1 and verse 10 is an admonition that we must heed. If there come any unto you and bring not this doctrine, receive him not into your house, neither bid him Godspeed. Okay? Be careful, is what he warns us of. There are many people who are presenting doctrine that is not according to Scripture. What is right? What is in Scripture? And the only way I'm going to get it is by spending the time in God's Word. There is a book that I do recommend that everyone read. And it's a great book. It's not that long. Okay? It is called The Bible Makes Us Baptist. It is a story that would go along with Fox's Book of Martyrs. It takes us in time, takes us through a person's life from her as a child up to being a grandmother and the picture of the persecution that occurred of the Christians, particularly during that Reformation time and moving forward. But here's the whole emphasis of the book. Okay? Clinging to the Bible, the Scripture. Right? When we came to the Reformation, big problem. Right? The church officials, right? The state religions said, we do not want you to have a copy of God's word in your hand. Right? Here's why. It doesn't match up with what they're teaching. And you people who are ignorant, unlearned, can't read, right? You don't need to get mixed up by reading God's word. You're going to find in there that you're going to start doing things that are contrary to our teachings. And the persecution was, how do we keep the Bible out of the hands of the people? This book emphasizes the fact of saying those people who clung to the Word of God, okay, those who said we're going to follow what it says, not what man says, okay, they've come under various names along the way. They were originally called Anabaptists because, hey, they didn't believe in that infant baptism, and they said, you need to get baptized again once you're saved. Right? We kind of over time dropped that term Anna off of there to be the Baptist, but that is what the emphasis of this book is. Right? Those who cling to God's word end up with this label on them that says, oh, you're a Baptist. Talked to a guy the other day. He said, oh, yeah, you're a Baptist. So you're like one of them snake handlers. What? What are you talking about? Oh, yeah, go back through the news cycle, right? And you'll find every once in a while from someplace out in the desert, there's somebody who's going to say, we're Baptists, and we handle snakes as part of our religion. No. Right? And then that's what the people say is, oh, that's what a Baptist is. Not true. Okay? I trust none of you have been handling snakes recently as part of your religious practice. You can be the exterminator, that's fine. But, you know, you might have a pet garter snake in the, you know, in the aquarium at home. But there are people who literally combine those two things together and say, oh, that's what a Baptist is. Now, a Baptist is one who clings to the book and lets the book dictate how we live and what we ought to do. James chapter 2, verse 19, and we'll close this morning. James chapter 2 and verse 19. Says this, thou believest that there is one God. Thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. If you back up to the point of saying, well, I believe in God. Okay. James here in writing says, well, that's real nice that you say you believe in God. The devil, his minions, his followers, right? The demons, as we would call them. They believe in God, so must solve everything, right? That you simply say, well, I believe in God. They probably believe in God more than you do. But that does not bring salvation. That does not make their lives pleasing to the Savior. Right? The answer isn't, I believe in God. Okay? The answer is, I believe the whole of Scripture and what it teaches. And it teaches me about God. It teaches me about Jesus Christ. In fact, everything I know about Jesus Christ comes from Scripture. Attached with your email for this week with the bulletin was an article, The Bible Tells Me So. It was written some time ago, so 2000. It was written from a perspective of the Southern Baptist Convention. They have had a lot of things that have pulled that group back and forth. They have had a lot of issues with what they would call the conservative side, through the moderate side, through the liberal side that says, hey, we're part of these Baptist churches, but we don't believe even what Scripture teaches. And so they've had a big pull back and forth. They've had troubles with this along the way. In 2000, what that group came back to was saying, we're going to change some of our language that says, this is what we believe. And they said, we believe what Scripture teaches. That is a phenomenal statement, isn't it? We believe what Scripture teaches. They didn't go into any other detail. The moderate and the liberal wings were all up in arms. because we don't believe what Scripture teaches. We fall back to a proposition that says, what would Jesus do? And therefore, when I conclude, what would Jesus do? Then I can let that dictate my life and how I'm going to live. And they literally said, by saying we're going to follow the Bible, what you're doing is you're worshiping the book instead of worshiping Jesus. So you're saying there's God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Bible, all of which are equal. So therefore, you're wrong in saying you follow the Bible. Okay? And the pushback again from that, we'll call it the conservative side, said, well, what I know about God, what I know about the Son, what I know about the Holy Spirit comes from the Bible. That's where we have to start. We're not worshiping paper, right? What we are worshiping is the God of the Bible, and the only place I find him is by studying God's word. Let's close in prayer. Heavenly Father, thank you for an opportunity to look into your word, to look at that concept of doctrine, of what is truth. Lord, we pray that each one of us would take the time to study your word, to look deeper into it, to look at the synopsis and documents that say these are the things that we believe, and say, let's go back and look at Scripture. The Bereans were more noble than others because they searched the Scriptures to see if these things were so. Lord, we pray that we would be a church that says we search the Scriptures, we look for the truth that of God's word, and we do not rely on man's opinions and man's beliefs, because man is so easily able to manipulate by believing that he can determine what Jesus would do in a situation, and then therefore let that dictate his life rather than looking to the word of God and saying, this is what it says Jesus did and what Jesus taught. Lord, we pray that, Lord, as we leave here today, Lord, that we would glorify and honor you in all that we do. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.